So for the last couple weeks now, we've been allowing money to talk to us. And I don't know if you've been listening, but we've been allowing it to talk to us and tell us some things that we need to know and some things that are really just at times common sense. And then what we found is those things kind of intersected with the things that Jesus taught also about money. And it's like, wow, really? That really happened? Yeah. And it's amazing what God does to intersect those things together for us. And all we're going to do is we're going to let money talk. So the first week was, I can add meaning to your life, but I am not the meaning of life. It's our life isn't all about gathering money and gathering possessions. That's something called greed. And we said what happens at times, we just begin to assume that everything is ours for our consumption. It's all for me to use however I want to use it. And then we realized, well, wait a minute, we can't take anything with us when life is over. So it cannot be the meaning of life because it obviously doesn't go with us. But it can add meaning to our lives. And how important that was, that we don't allow greed to take over and kind of rule and dominate our lives. Last week, the moment you think you own me, I actually own you. We actually gave you a little assignment this week. I don't know how many of you tried it or not, just to see where your money went. Some of you already do this, so you're aware of stuff. Some of you, you did it when I spent that much at Starbucks. I cannot believe it, but that's what happened. And for the first time, maybe you realized some spending habits you didn't know you had. We just do stuff, right? And now it's just easier. You just take out the card and you swipe, 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 swipe. And we forget what we're doing. And why do we say this is important? Because Jesus told this great parable to make us understand that we're not the owners, that every good and perfect gift is from above, and that Jesus has so graciously given us everything. And so that means I get to steward it. And when a steward or a person that's in charge of managing someone else's money is what? Responsible and accountable, okay? This is why every once in a while you'll see news clips of people who aren't responsible, and it's time that they're accountable, and now that happened, and they're in trouble for the things that they did. So the moment you think you own me, I actually own you. So now this week, okay, as we step in, and I've talked about this before. In fact, I've talked about it as a church, what we're going to do and how we're going to think about the money we have as a church. There's actually three things you can do with your money. You can spend, save, or give. Now, under spend, there's some other categories, you know, like investing. You have to pay taxes, okay, right? They tend to frown on you not paying taxes, tend to lose things or end up in prison, stuff like that. So, right, or repay debt are other things you can do when we're talking about spending. It's not just spending it. Repay debt is something you can do. But just three basic things. And I told you, this is a simple way at times to help your kids understand money. Put out three jars, spend, save, give. And then they look at the other two and, no, I want to use it. I want to do something with it, right? And so it's a simple way. It's a simple way to think about our money, that we can spend it, we can save it, or we can give it, okay? Very simple, right? Three things, okay? We all can do this. Here's the problem with that, okay? The way we think about it. Spending is me. Saving is for me, but later, okay? Give is for God and others. Do you see that order, okay? Who's going first? Me, right? Because that's the way we're born. That's the way we think. I need to go first. It needs to be about me first, me second, me third, right? Right. All these me's. And then we'll get to, oh, I could actually give some of that and do something for God and others. And this is the way, by the way, this is the order most of us think about. Okay, so when we talk about giving here, it becomes about, oh, well, yeah, but I don't have much money left over, right? That extra money that doesn't exist anymore. I don't have a lot of money left over, okay? Once I'm done with me and me and me and lots of me for the month, okay, and then the taxes, right, and the repay debt and the me, well, there's not much left for me to do something with. And so this is the problem we want to talk about today. How do we change this? That when Jesus showed up, he actually did was he flipped that script over. And we're going to talk about that today. What does it look like to flip that script? That it isn't just about me first and I'm going to go first and it's about me, 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 me. We're going to flip that around and see what Jesus taught us. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. That's where we're going to find the verses today we want to look at. Probably really familiar verses that most of you know. You're online. It's going to be on the bottom of the screen for you. Those in the room, you know, you can look at your Bible and look at the YouVersion app, another good option, or watch the screen. They'll all be up there as well. But I want you to see how Jesus flipped the script. So at the end of our time here this morning, we're going to think about this differently, that we're not going to go first all the time when it comes to money, that we can actually change that and flip it around. So in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus makes this statement, for where your treasure is, and right before that, he talked about all the places you shouldn't put your treasure because of things that could happen to it. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, this is why it's really important to understand why Jesus talked so much about money. Remember, he didn't talk about money all the time because he wanted everybody's money, okay? He wasn't going around going, no, you need to give me all your money. That's not why he talked about it. Because what was he interested in more than people's money? Their lives. Or in this case, in this verse, we could be specific and say their heart. The very center of who they are. That's what Jesus was trying to pursue. But there's something he knew. And that is where your treasure is, that's where that's going to be. That you could actually look at your bank statement, you could look at your credit card statements, and you could figure out the things that you are pursuing, the things that you're going after, the things that you're trying to accumulate, and who those things are for. You can actually know that. You don't need anybody else to tell you. You have to sit there and go, oh, is it in the Bible somewhere what my heart is pursuing? Nope. It's in your bank statement and your credit card statement. Take those two things, look at them, and you're going to know what it is that you are pursuing, that you are going after, that you are running after. Try it sometime. It'll help you understand the order and things of which you are going after and running after. So if money talked, here's what it would say. My direction, the direction you are taking me and using me, reveals your affection, the things you love, the things that you're after, the things that you are pursuing, okay? That's all money would say. My direction, where you're putting me, where you're using me, where I'm going towards, reveals your affection. So it helps you understand, oh, I'm just trying to build myself a better life. I'm trying to accumulate things. I'm trying to get things. I'm trying to pursue this. It will tell you that. It just tells you, okay? Doesn't tell you whether you're right or wrong. It just tells you what you're pursuing and what you're after. So if you can think for a moment, both in the room, you online, do the same. What is your money telling you about what you're pursuing? What's your money telling you about what you love? What's your money telling you about what direction it's going in that reveals your affection? And then you can just ask God, God, is this a good thing? Is this a good thing for me to be pursuing? Is this a good thing for me to be after? Is this a good thing for me to be putting all this attention towards and effort towards when it comes to my money? What you spend or save money on reveals what you care about the most, okay? And I put them both in there because isn't it true? Okay, some of us are spenders in the room, okay, and you know who you are. And by the way, if you're married to the other one, okay, this is going to be a little fun this morning, right? You don't need to point. All right, some of you pointing, elbowing, right? That's always kind of fun, okay? It's fun up here to watch. Maybe it's not fun for where you're sitting, but it's fun to watch, okay? So some of you are spenders, right? You love spending, okay? You love shopping. And shopping, right, got easier because you actually don't have to leave your home. You flip the screen up on your laptop. You get out your phone and, woo, look at this. Here we go, okay? Some of you are spenders. Some of you are savers, okay? That's the way you are. You're awesome. You're incredible. I don't know how you do it, right? But you save money, okay? And you are really good at it, okay? And sometimes, this is what happens, right? we married the other person, and then we have to figure out how do we work out these conflicts because we spend and save and we do this differently, and we have this tension that we're trying to figure out and we're trying to work on. What you spend or save your money on reveals what you care about the most. So whether you're a spender, so whether you're a saver, it's going to help you reveal what you care about the most. Sometimes people will just save because I'm not going to have any problems. Nobody's going to have to ever, I'm going to be safe from anything that could possibly ever happen. And in reality, sometimes it's because we're not fully trusting God. We're trying to make sure we got everything covered. Now, we need to be responsible, we need to do all that, but sometimes that happens. So what you spend or what you save your money on reveals what you care about the most. That's what it reveals. So go a little bit further down. This is a really familiar verse. Gave it to you in a different version so we could think about it differently this morning. Matthew 6:33. We're used to saying what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I like this better, this translation of this word that Jesus used. But above all, pursue his, God's, kingdom and righteousness. Well, that's different than my script from earlier, isn't it? Jesus saying, I want you to pursue something else. Now, a kingdom, that's kind of hard to think about. Just think about what God cares about the most. What God cares about, living in that realm. That's one of the reasons Jesus came, okay? If his only reason was coming to die, he'd have showed up and died and gone back to heaven. Okay, but he also came to show us who the Father was and what God is about. So pursue his kingdom. Pursue the things that are right. That's how Jesus, just a few verses later, after talking about treasure and heart and what direction are you going, talks about this whole idea of pursuing his kingdom and putting that first. I'm going to reprioritize, I'm going to reorder, I am going to rearrange things and flip the script. So, back to our problem. So what was our problem? Our problem is me, okay? That's our problem. I'm the problem, okay? I don't have to look very far, just look in a mirror and I see what the problem is, okay? And that is me. I want to go first. I want to go first, I want to go second, I want to go third, I want to make it all about me. And then what's left over, if there's anything left over, and it's getting hard to have more left over, I'll give it, right? You'll see some emotional plea about rescue animals on TV, and you're like, oh, I can't believe that happened, I'm going to give. Or you saw that news story, I don't remember how many days ago it was, about the people who broke in and stole all that stuff that was for somebody else, okay, at the charity in Des Moines. You're like, oh, I can't believe they did that. And emotionally, we get pulled, and we're like, oh, I need to give to that. I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm talking about actually just rearranging things and making different choices so that we actually do what Jesus talked about. We actually start pursuing his kingdom and the things that he cares about and the things that he says are right. So we're going to flip it. We're going to flip it. Solution, give first. Give first, flip it, then we get to do it. And I should have changed this even further, okay? Because a good should be give, save, spend, right? That's how it should get flipped. Because why? We need to put the important stuff first, the stuff that's hard, the stuff that's difficult, and then really, instead of spend, think about I live on the rest. I live what's on the rest. What's left. Instead of, I'll give it the end. I'll give it back to God. I'll hear some emotional plea about kids needing to go to camp, somebody needing a roof, somebody needing something. I'll jump in and I'll help at that point. But until then, I'm going to go first. And Jesus invites us into a different existence of flipping the script and putting him first. That's what we're doing. We're being invited into a world where we don't go first. Where we don't go first. Some of you are like, I don't know if I want to live in that world. Come on, be honest. I don't know if I want to live in that world. I like the world where I go first. I like the world where I go first, and I go second, and I go third. I'm getting kind of comfortable in that world, okay? I've been able to buy the things I want in that world, okay? I've been able to save for the stuff I want in that world. So you might need a little just thinking this through and processing this and asking, is that really the world I want to live in, okay? Watch what Jesus says. We're going to finish this verse. But above all, pursue his kingdom and righteousness. So flip the script. I'm going to pursue God first, and I'm going to give first. What's that going to do? And all these things will be given to you as well. Oh, so Jesus says, if I change the order, it's still going to benefit me. Right? It's still going to ultimately have benefit. It doesn't mean I give up everything. I give everything, okay? We don't want that. Then somebody else is responsible, right, for all your expenses. But what if I just did that and started putting God first? What would that look like? How would my life be different? What would our finances look like if we just started doing that and trusting God and putting him first and flipping that script around? This is about priorities, and this is about who comes first. Give, save, spend, think in percentages. Okay, so in other words, you're going to choose a percentage, and that's the percentage we're going to give, right? Most of us don't think like this, okay? But that's the percentage you are going to give. See, here's what I know about all of us, you online as well. Everybody in here is a generous person. Everybody in here wants to give. Everybody in here wants to see what they have make a difference. Everybody wants to make a difference. Everybody wants to do that. Sometimes we just don't know how. Sometimes we just don't know how. And sometimes we need tools to help us. So I want you to know that this was a struggle in our house, okay? This wasn't easy. Some of you, this comes automatic too. I'm telling you, you're awesome. You probably should preach the next part of the message. I'm just giving you the part of how we needed to turn this around in our house, okay? Because this was something that just was difficult and hard for whatever reason. And what made the change for us, what made the difference for Jill and I, was when we had a way to do that. What do you mean when you had a way to do that, okay? Because you probably have these discussions maybe at some point. Hey, did you do this? Did you write out that check? Did you take that to church today? Were you supposed to do that, right? And you're looking at each other going, no, I thought you were supposed to do that, okay? We found a way that took all of that. So when we found what's called Kindred, Kindred is the program we use for online giving. So when you go and online to give, thriveindianola.com, and you go to the give thing, or you text the number that we have, give to that number, and it links you back to that site. The program we have, the people that we use, it's called Kindred, okay? Part of the appeal of that is I knew how much it would change our family's giving doing that, okay? So I will admit, when I saw this, there's about this much in me that thought, this is going to benefit us as well, okay? Personally, this is going to benefit us. Because what it's going to allow us to do, it's going to allow us to schedule and set up our giving, okay? So no, hey, did you do this? Did you do this? No, I forgot this week. Did you? No more of that. It just happens. And it's nice. It happens. So you know what that allows us to do? That allows us to take that give and move it first. Because now the first thing that comes out is that giving. It's the first thing that comes out. Because we have it scheduled and we have it set up and it just happens. And it is great. And it has been a huge changer for us, okay, in the area of consistency. Everybody in this room is a giver. If you're watching online, many of you are givers, okay? Everybody's a giver. The change is many of us are not very consistent givers, okay? If you're not very disciplined at this, you're not a very consistent giver. And you need help moving from a giver who gives occasionally or when you think about it or when you remember the checkbook or when you do this or you do that, it helps you move from there to I now am a consistent giver. I am consistent. And every this many weeks apart, 2 weeks apart, on Friday morning, there it is. It's out, it's there, it's given, boom, it's done. And that has changed us into people who wanted to be givers, desired to be givers, and were givers part of the time, to people who were consistent givers all the time. Like I said, we're all givers. The biggest thing is many of us are not consistent givers. And it's not like we don't want to be. It's not that we don't have the intention to be. We have every intention to do that. We just need help. And this was the help we needed to flip the script and start putting that first and saying, boom, there it is, there it is, there it is, there it is. And being reminded, you don't even think about it until I get the email, okay? Oh, thank you for giving. Oh, that's right. It's Friday, okay? It's Friday. That comes out. That happened. That went into it. And it's like, it helps you move to be consistent. And so if you need help being consistent, because we needed help being consistent, we have a way to help you to be consistent, which will help you to flip this script. Now, here's the last thing I want to talk about this morning. Pay attention to the tension. Okay? Pay attention to the tension you're feeling, the arguments that you already want to make. So if we could sit down and have coffee, you would say, okay, Ed, that's nice. However, and you would give me whatever arguments you got going on in your head right now. It's okay. Right? That's how all of us listen. I understand this happens, right? So all these things, well, I don't know if I want to do that. Okay? I don't know if I want to consistently give. If I schedule my giving, Ed, and I get mad at you, okay, how do I stop that, okay? I'm being silly, right? But I don't know what's going on in that head and what arguments you're thinking of about why this might not be a good idea and why your way of going first might be better. Pay attention to that. Why is it attention? Am I having trouble being consistent? Am I struggling in that consistency part? Is there stuff I just want? And so I'm going to argue every which way not to give until I get my thing, okay? My boat, my jet ski, whatever it might be, okay? I'm just going to argue until I get that. Pay attention to those tensions and the way that you're thinking about today, money. And whether or not you want to take Jesus' invitation to flip the script and put giving first and see what he does with that. See, the litmus test, the simple litmus test of our devotion to God is our willingness to put him first in the arena of our money. You want to know how good you're doing following Jesus? How are you doing in the arena of money? Okay, just start there. Okay, Jesus said, run into people who had problems with money. You can read in Luke 19 the story of Zacchaeus, okay? The wee little man. It's the only thing everybody remembers about him, right? He had a problem. He was a tax collector, and he was a chief tax collector, and he liked money. Do you know what happens when he encounters Jesus? He so is radically changed by Jesus, he just starts giving it away. And he starts realizing, oh, man, I went to Troy over here, and I told him his taxes were $3,000, and they were $1,000, okay? And he went back to Troy, and he said, Troy, I cheated you out of $2,000, and he gave it to him back, okay? That's just what he did. Why? Because the thing that owned him no longer did once he met Jesus, and it changed him. And this is what Jesus loves to do when it comes to this arena of money, is just change the way we think about it and change what we do with it and totally change the direction of it. So this week we are going to gather, right? You're going to gather with family and your friends for Thanksgiving, okay? And we are going to give thanks. And isn't part of the biggest reason we give thanks is for the people in our lives who are givers. We don't sit around the table and talk about the takers, do we? No, we don't invite them, and we hope they don't show up uninvited, right? All these things. We don't want to talk about the takers in our lives, okay? We've had enough of them. They've taken enough. That we want to talk about the people who have been givers. And this year, they went the extra mile when we were sick and helped us out. And they came over and helped us, you know, get something accomplished home that we really wanted done. And they helped us out of this problem. And they gave here and they did this. We want to gather and we want to be thankful for the givers. This week, I hope you remember those givers in your life and you're thankful for them. Just think about that for a moment. Don't you want to be that type of giver that people are thankful for, that you're in their life making a difference? So we're going to pray this morning. We're just going to ask God to help us to get this right, to flip the script, to put him first, and to watch the difference that that will make. So let's pray, and then we're going to worship together. Heavenly Father, you are a good, good Father. Every good and perfect gift's from above. And for us living here, and for those online, we might have people online who are outside the United States. But Father, in this land, we are so blessed. We are so blessed. We have been given so much. Forgive us when we make this all about me, me, and me. You invite us to flip the script. And I know there's a lot of tension with that, and we're not sure. And we got these big student loans, and we've got this other stuff going on, and we don't know how this will ever work. But Father, you invite us to pursue your kingdom first and flip the script and actually choose to give first. So help us think about that and help us make that a reality and flip the script and make a difference. Father, you are truly a giver because everything we have, every good and perfect gift is from above. And we give thanks for all that you have blessed us with this year. Help us to become the giver that other people are thankful for as well. Help us to pursue your kingdom and your righteousness and watch the difference that makes. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.